And good evening, everybody. Welcome to the latest edition of Derek Gervin's As Good As It Gets Basketball Podcast. This is Ricky Hampton, along with my co-host from the AfricanAmericanAthlete.com, Michael Robinson, and of course the star of the show, the pride of the Motor City, the pride of the University of Texas San Antonio, the pride of the New Jersey Nets, our good brother, Derek Gervin. Good evening, brothers. How y'all doing tonight?
Well, I'm not in the best of moods because of what the Brew Crew didn't do down in L.A.
And I'm doing just fine.
Man, I'm in a great mood. I am in a great mood, man. I got a feeling the Pistons are going to the final. Hey, Detroit Pistons kicked off the NBA season with a 103-100 victory over the mighty Brooklyn Nets tonight here in the Motor City. So, hey, man, we take them W's when we can get them around here, brothers.
Well, actually, Ricky, the big news is New Orleans just put the wood to Houston.
I was watching some of that, man.
Yeah.
Well, so, Derek, what do you think's going on there? Or is it, clearly, this is one game, but did you get a chance to see any of that?
Yeah, I saw the entire game. First, I want to say good evening to everybody. I'm a guy that last year I was a big fan of New Orleans. I really liked the Pelicans. You know, they kind of one of the teams that are flying under the radar. And I felt last year when they added Nikolai Mirotic, they immediately became a better team. And if you look tonight, I believe he had about 30 points. But they
made some additions. When they picked up Mirotic, you thought they were better than when they had Boogie?
Well, I thought there was a different team. I actually did. With Boogie, it was more, you know, they were playing between either he had the ball all the time or Anthony Davis. So when they got Mirotic, their style changed. They got up and down the floor more. They led the league in possessions. And that was after Boogie left. They became a different team. I won't say necessarily a more talented team because you lose DeMarcus Cousins, but they became a more well-rounded team. And then you look this year, they added Julius Randle. I mean, I think they're the team. They definitely could be in the top four. We're in for some surprises this year. Let me just say it that way. It's going to be a very interesting year.
And I'm looking at that. Mirotić had 30 points tonight. And Anthony Davis, I'm looking at the stats, 32 points, 8 assists, 16 rebounds.
16 rebounds, yep.
Yeah, so they – and now let's Houston. Carmelo had 9. Capello, 8 points, 7 rebounds. Of course, he's their defensive guy.
Harden was 18, 9, and 10. He almost had a triple-double.
Eric Gordon, 21 points, 1 assist. Harden, 18, 10, and 9. So I didn't get to see much of that. Chris Paul, 19.6 assists. I didn't get to see much of that because I was watching the Pistons game. Did that game just get away from him or what, fellas?
I'm just shocked that you were able to stomach that Pistons game.
Hey, you gentlemen, be careful now. You remember they played the Brooklyn Nets. And my former team. So me being from Detroit, I said that I wish the score could have been 120-120. But then I said, well, I have to go with the hometown, so go Pistons. So I'm really happy because my buddy had a good game. Andre Drummond turned it out.
Oh yeah, yeah, so
that excites me. I'm happy for him.
Well,
my hometown Bucks won.
Well, they're a good team. they are a good team, and they're going to continue to be a good team.
Well, we'll see. Now, I got to ask you two gentlemen earlier. And I want the fans. I'm hoping the fans can chime in. I'm looking at the Eastern Conference. I want to do the Eastern Conference first because since that's been supposedly the inferior conference. If you look at Boston yesterday, they didn't really make many changes. They brought in Robert Williams. I believe he'll be a pretty good player from Texas A&M. But that's down the line. And Brad Wanamaker. They really didn't give up anything. They lost Shane Larkin and Greg Monroe. But if I looked, when I looked at the Celtics yesterday, Charles Barkley had made some comments, and I read them today about maybe they're too talented. Now, I know some people were like, man, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. But sometimes you can have a lot of guys that have too much talent, and you have to figure out how to work those guys together in the system. So it's going to be challenging. We already know they're supposed to come out of the East. But if you look at Brad Stevens, he's going to have some challenges because you have to figure out, you know, who to play at what time, who's going to be on the floor in the fourth quarter, things like that. And you got guys like Marcus Morris that are helping the team. You look at Terry Rozier. You can only have five guys on the floor at a time. So they're going to have it's going to take pretty much half the season just for them to really figure out their rotation. What do you guys think about Boston?
I really like Boston, and when you look at it on paper, it doesn't look like they added a lot. But when you think about it, they added Hayward, who they only had for a couple of. What, did he even make it through the first quarter last year before he got hurt? So he's going to be a big deal. Yeah, he's going to play his way back into it. You know, I think the guy, and I heard some guys talking about this tonight too, with the Celtics being so loaded, you know, somebody's going to have to take a step back. And the guy you worry about would be Kyrie. If Kyrie is comfortable with, you know, doing a little less, I think they'll be okay because he is still going to be the engine there. But, man, this kid Tatum, he is coming, fellas. He is something else.
Go ahead, Mike. Well, what do you think?
For me, I'm not entirely sold on them because I think it's one of those situations where they played above their head last year, and then you got guys that got so much confidence, and will they be able to regress? And will Scary Terry be able to deal with playing less minutes after he got a good feel of that, especially when he was going against the Bucks and all the trash talk he was doing with the point guard for them. So I don't know how it's going to work. And then will Kyrie start to feel like, hey, man, when I forced my way out of Cleveland to come here, I thought this was going to be my team, but it seems like you guys are all up on Tatum. And you probably also want Gordon to be the star. So will he feel like, man, I forced my way out of Cleveland only to be the third wheel, even though I have the ball and I don't assist.
Hey, Derek,
so
you notice you said forced his way out of Cleveland twice, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, so that one. And then, like I said, I don't know if Toronto will still be at that same level where they were the top seed last year. And then if they can get back up there, and then you had Kawhi instead of DeRozan, I mean, would that make them much better? And they don't have to worry about the kryptonite of LeBron. And then, once again, the Sixers. You know, Boston made them look pretty bad. So I don't know where they are. So that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, it's easy to the easy way to say is Boston because by addition of two players that were hurt during that playoff run, they should automatically be better. But as we've seen in sports, it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes that could be a cause of friction. Because, like I said, it's all going to depend on all those guys that up their game during that adversity of losing the two star players. So will they be better or will it be all kinds of issues because of that? I mean, and to kind of like – follow up what Barkley was saying about too talented. I mean, when you look at them and then you look at the Warriors adding Boogie Cousins, how are you going to say that team is too talented when the Warriors just added, you know, a guy, you know, that could be headed to the Hall of Fame if he didn't, you know, had this big injury. So I don't know if that's going to deter his career now, but Boogie was on his way, though. That dude was like a walking double-double. So that team is the one you have to worry about having too much talent. I still, you know, as I said, besides Tatum, Kyrie, and maybe Gordon, you know, the other guys are just, I think, middle-of-the-road talent. Whereas, you know, these guys, Tatum has a chance to be a superstar. And it might be at the expense of Kyrie's limelight. And we know how he is when he doesn't get the limelight. He'll be trying to get out of Boston next.
Yeah, but even if he's unhappy, he's going to play, though, Derek. I mean, clearly he wasn't happy in Cleveland, but he was balling the whole time. When they tipped off, he balled.
I think Kyrie won't mind sharing the spotlight with Tatum. It's different than playing with LeBron. With LeBron, everything was run through LeBron. That's on the court and off the court. With Tatum, he's a very good player, possibly a superstar. He has potential to be, but he's a young guy. And Kyrie, that's a different feeling for Kyrie. I think he can suck it up with a young guy because, in his mind, he's still the leader of that team. And it doesn't mean he has to really be the best player. He'll still be a focal point. I still believe Kyrie will be taking more shot attempts than Tatum. But I think it's be an easy adjustment for him. I think he said he's sold in, that he wants to stay in Boston. And I'm going to take it at his word until I see otherwise. But I think he'll make the adjustment. It's a different coach, different system. Brad Stevens is not the type of guy that I see people wanting to leave. I see people wanting to join that kind of team. And I think sometimes Kyrie's learned at this point in his career that he has to sacrifice a little bit. There's nothing wrong with sacrificing for Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. Those are two guys that they're going to need. And then he has to give up the ball some so that you can build Hayward's confidence back. And then you got your guy who keeps the team, Mr. Glue, and that's Al Horford. So you have guys like that. I think Kyrie will buy in. But as you know, in this game is funny. We got guys getting paid lots of dollars. We don't know what goes behind the scenes. So you sound like you generally agree with me, though, as far as Brad Stevens is going to have a challenge, something that maybe people haven't really thought about very much.
Hey Derek, one of the chief challenges is going to be Philly. But watching that game the other night, and I love Ben Simmons around the game.
Ricky, let me stop you. Why did you just gloss over Toronto? They were the number one seed.
And I'm gonna get to the Toronto. And I was thinking, guys, why don't we go over the challengers in both conferences and try to come up with, you know, we've seen some preseason, we've seen some opening games, and kind of get our thoughts on who we think can do one. And I certainly didn't forget about Toronto because I think Toronto is every bit as good as they were last year. It's going to be in Toronto. Will the new coach be able to do as good a job as Dwayne Casey did? Because think about it, guys.
Yeah.
Dwayne Casey got fired because he couldn't beat LeBron James. It's a lot of coaches that have lost to LeBron James. But look what he did with that bench there, Derek and Mike. And they just couldn't get past Cleveland. They didn't have an answer for LeBron. But before we go to Toronto, I want to get back to your thoughts on Ben Simmons. And I'm a big fan of his all-around game, but his shot doesn't look any better to me, Derek.
Ben is a rare case because he's not a very good shooter, but he brings so much more to the game. I mean, just his presence on the floor. I looked at him last night. And people forget, it took Magic Johnson. He didn't just come in, you know, he shot a set shot, but it took him a few years to even develop that to the point where you couldn't leave him open. Ben, I still don't say this again, and people can keep not listening to me if they choose. I think Ben's shooting with the wrong hand. And I'm going to continue to say that. The jumper is broken. And he right handed. I don't understand it. I mean, I don't see his jumper getting any better shooting with the left hand. His form is terrible. But he brings so much more to the game. I like Philadelphia's team. They're going to be even better than they are now. Yesterday they didn't look so good. But Wilson Chandler's hurt. I think he'll be a good addition. You got the rookie, this guy, Zaire Smith, has the potential to be a very good scorer. So you look at Philly, J.J. Redick's coming off the bench right now as opposed to starting last year. I guess they're trying to build up Markelle Fultz's confidence. We'll see how long that lasts.
Exactly.
This is the part that's baffling to me. Last year, when Philadelphia had their starting five with Redick in the starting five, they were the best team starting five in the league. And I don't understand. They were the best five in the league, and this year now all of a sudden you want to build up Markelle Fultz's confidence. But that could also hurt the overall team. You lost perimeter shooting. You lost Bellinelli. They lost a young man that I thought was a very good player on both ends, Richard Holmes. And then you lose Ersan Ilyasova. Yeah. So they lost some crucial pieces. They bring in Wilson Chandler, this guy Zaire Smith, and Mike Muscala. So the team has still had – they're not formed all the way. It's still going to take some bonding, some gelling. But I don't even – I'm not a big Philly fan anyway. I have them possibly the third or – fourth or fifth seed this year, and that's where I see them, possibly behind the Pacers or Milwaukee Bucks.
All right, so Derek, let me follow up on that, Derek, because for me, I know the Fultz situation is because they feel like that's the number one pick overall. We got to make this work, otherwise we're going to have egg all over our face. I think that's part of that. And they said, I guess they feel like shooting can work off the bench or in the starting lineup. So I think they're probably looking at it that way, which may turn out to be horrible. But back to your comparison to Magic, think about how ironic this is. Magic, yeah, didn't really have a jumper, but that dude led that team all the way to the finals and then had the ultimate game in the finals, ironically, against Philadelphia. So, you know, as a rookie. So just to contrast that with Ben going scoreless in the playoffs as a rookie. So Magic was a whole different dude. Without a shot, he still could absolutely control a game. Ben can't really control a game if he goes scoreless like that again. I mean, you can get 10 assists, but if you're not scoring, you can offset those assists. So that's you know, of course, you know, Magic is just a whole different animal, and he's a once-in-a-lifetime player, but I'm just saying that just that rookie year, that man was still leading with an all-world player on the team, with Kareem there. And he came in there, led that team, and then that magic moment when Kareem's out, he seals the series in the finals in Philadelphia with playing a different position. So the man was just magic. That's an absolute apropos word and name for him. He was magic. Whereas Ben, they want to compare that, but there's a lot of it factors that also have to come into play. And as you said, he didn't need to work on that shot, but he also needs to be more of a commanding force out there too.
Ricky?
No, Derek, I want you to handle that. I
think Ben has potential to be also a once-in-a-generation player. He's not Magic Johnson. There'll never be another Magic. Magic is the best point guard ever lived.
Right.
But if you're talking about the closest to him, and you're talking 6'10", and he's bulked up. I looked at him last night. I was impressive. The only thing about Ben is sometimes it seemed like he drifts. His mind is somewhere else, and that's what I'm trying to figure out about him, because he has unlimited potential. And, I mean, the guy is special. I don't know if it's the – I still think it hurts them not having perimeter shooters. I think that would open up the floor for him more. And then he's got to learn still to blend a little more with Joel. I think they're a great combination, but Ben has to get back in the gym. He has to stay in the gym religiously. And even if he can improve the jumper to the mid-range, you got to be able to shoot the ball a little bit so guys won't back off of him. By him not being able to shoot, it limits some of the team's opportunities, and it limits some of his opportunities. But I think he's the kind of guy that wants to be special. And as we know, Magic wasn't a shooter. You get better as time goes on. LeBron wasn't a shooter. He got better as time went by. So I just trust the system of the NBA and these teams. And the more you work, it becomes repetition. And I just see Philadelphia being a team that'll be better as the year goes on. But once I say it, still, I have them like number four or possibly number five in the Eastern Conference.
So I'm assuming Toronto is one of the teams you have in front of them.
I have them coming out of the East. I have Toronto coming out of the East.
Wow.
And Toronto opened up the season tonight with a 116-104 victory over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Let's see. I'm going to go over the stats right quick. Kawhi played 37 minutes, gave him 24 points on 9 of 22 shooting, 11 rebounds, 12 rebounds,
wow.
2 assists. And, it looked like he had a plus 13. But I'm looking at those 37 minutes, man. That's telling me he's feeling pretty good.
Right.
And
I know San Antonio has to be upset.
Well, I'm sorry?
I know San Antonio has to be upset to see 37 minutes.
I'm sure. Well, that's
enough.
Yeah, they got the reason I picked Toronto is because a lot of people forget they were in the top four in the league last year in defense.
Right, exactly.
And that's with DeRozan. So you take DeRozan, to me, they can't improve dramatically. You bring in Kawhi. People forget they brought in Danny Green as well and Greg Monroe. So when you bring in,
Danny
Greg Monroe and help. Say it again.
Danny Green tonight, 11 points in 32 minutes. Look, shoot, man, they were in control of the game. Of course, they play a lot of guys anyway. Fred VanVleet, once again, off the bench, 14 points. Powell played well off the bench. They got C.J. Miles giving them minutes. They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They had 11 guys play 10 minutes or more tonight. In their easy victory over the Cavaliers, Serge Ibaka had a good game for him tonight. So that's a very deep team, Derek.
I like them. I liked them last year. I just felt that they just Lowry and DeRozan are like deer in the headlights when they see LeBron. I felt they were a better team than Cleveland last year. But those two guys, just something about it. They the type of guys, if they see LeBron eating at a restaurant, they probably will go to another restaurant next door or something just to be away from him. And that's sad to say that. But I can only go back.
They ran away from the bully.
I saw
they ran away from the bully. Hey, now.
So adding Kawhi.
I'm in this box score. Let's take a quick look at LeBron's old team, the Cavaliers. And Kevin Love gave him 21 and 7. Tristan Thompson gave him 27 minutes, 13 rebounds. Rodney Hood, their starting five was Seti Osman, Love, Thompson, Rodney Hood, and George Hill. And Korver didn't give him much tonight. Jordan Clarkson gave him 15 points off the bench. This is not a very good roster, fellas. I mean, to state the obvious.
Well, they get to watch LeBron in the playoffs this year, so they can cheer him on and thank him for all that he did for their organization, so that some good still comes out of it.
Hey, Ricky, I got a quick question. Did George Hill make a free throw tonight?
George
Hill,
he was 3 or 4 from the line last night. Yep.
He still missed one,
Yeah, the one he missed, man, really hurt him. The one he missed really hurt him.
Well, I got to ask you, Ricky, Ricky, what do you think about now? Here's a team that, in both conferences, they have teams that have gone under the radar. If you look at the Indiana Pacers,
yes,
I thought last year that they were a team that's on their way up, and then you know they bring an addition. They bring in Tyreek Evans, which I think will help. Doug McDermott, outside shooting. Kyle O'Quinn. So they brought in some guys. And, you know, you lose Glenn Robinson Jr., I mean the third, that could be a big loss. You lose Lance Stephenson, and you lose Al Jefferson. Al, I would call it a big loss, but, you know, his career has been on the down slide the last 3 or 4 years. So
right.
if you had a better Al Jefferson, I think that would have made the team better. So really, if you look at the Pacers, they didn't lose a whole lot. And I'm thinking this year will be a breakout year for Miles Turner. So I'm putting the Pacers being up there, possibly the top four seed.
Yeah. Top four, I can see that. And Indiana doesn't have to deal with LeBron. I mean, this is why we're doing the East, because, I mean, with that guy leaving, I mean, it's wide open. Guys are licking their chops. And, you know, Indy was the better team in that first round last year. I think both of you guys would agree with that. They just didn't have 23.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, Ricky, every team that played Cleveland was the better team. If you go by the talent on the team except for one player. I mean, it was ridiculous how he had to drag them all the way there, and then he still couldn't even help. I mean, George, make a free throw, man. I mean, it's just frustrating to see somebody have an awesome game like that in the finals. On the world stage, 50 points, and you sit up there, blow a free throw, even though you're 80% free throw shooter, and then this dude gets the offensive rebound and loses his mind, dribbles out the clock. And I'm like, just idiotic stuff happening, and then of course, it all falls on LeBron about, oh, there he is, losing another finals. I'm like, really? I mean, that was just
a
start just to get there.
I have to tell you two gentlemen, I love Michael Robertson to death. But, Mike, I have to tell you this about the NBA because you know about the game, and sometimes you're a little hard. And this is Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is such a great player. I cannot condemn or hold it against him for scoring 0 in one game. That was an aberration.
Okay.
George Hill is still a solid player. If you look at it, things happen. Magic Johnson got an air ball, you know, with the game
Kobe
on the line.
Kobe had an air ball.
Yeah, so, you know, guys learn. Right. So, you know, sometimes, you know, a lot of guys, they make the changes. A lot of guys have pride in that league. And you learn from your mistakes. I mean, it is the NBA. Sometimes, you know, they say pressure busts the pipe. And that's the truth, and that's anything you do. So as long as guys learn from it, that's the key. Some guys, you know, they don't get in the gym and work as hard as they should. And then you got other guys that want to come back and make a name for themselves. So when I look at the Ben Simmons and the George Hill, and I'm a fan of George Hill. You know, he played well here with the Spurs. I believe he'll come back. I think he'll have a pretty good year. I don't think it's going to help Cleveland make it to the playoffs. But as an individual, I think he'll have a pretty decent year. And you just have to sometimes just let things go. And as long as you remember what you did wrong, you can always improve. Yeah. And I believe in these guys that they take pride in what they do. And then I try to give them the benefit of the doubt. And same thing with Ben.
You know what? I'll give you an example of how that did work. Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard missed some huge free throws against the Miami Heat, and Miami ended up winning. And a lot of people looked at it that those missed free throws cost that final. But then he came back and was MVP in the final. So he did redeem himself. But George Hill may never, ever be in that position ever again as in the finals, and you got a chance to win a game. I mean, then another example is a guy that was a good player, and I saw him grow up in nearby Chicago, and Nick Anderson. Nick Anderson, when he missed those free throws against the Rockets, never, ever got into that moment again and never lived that down. I mean, but he still, you know, continued his career and did his thing, but that's going to always be attached to him. So that's what I'm saying. If you're blessed enough to redeem yourself, that's cool, but a lot of people don't get that chance again. That's That's why Carpe Diem is one of the best slogans ever. Seize the day.
and in this world, in this day and time, especially now, but it's really been the case for Rabbit fans and people who really follow the game for a long time. I mean, those moments stand out. I mean, you go to football, the not giving it to Marshawn at the 1 yard line.
Right.
I mean, that play stands forever. I tell you one that stands for me, the Knicks and Bulls, Charles Smith. And he didn't try to dunk the ball.
He couldn't get the ball up. They kept stripping him.
If he gets it up and in the basket, they win that game and win that series. I mean, but hey, man, the Bulls wasn't trying to let him do that. I mean, clearly he wanted to make it. But the Bulls, like we say, the other team practices too. The other teams are pros too. But nonetheless, when somebody mentions the name Charles Smith to me, I think about him not making that basket.
Right.
Hey, Rick, but you know
I was cheering for my man Mason. Yeah, go ahead.
What's the irony, though, Rick? The irony in that is they say, Charles, I think he got 3 shots blocked in a row, right?
Yeah.
The irony is that what do they say wins championships? Defense.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're playing in this game, you know, a lot of players, even when I look at Golden State, perfect example, and I'm not switching from the West yet, but just like Golden State, you know, sometimes you take off, you play 82 games, and it is a long season. Man, sometimes these guys, you just don't have it that night. You just don't have any energy. And then, you know, so that's why you play this game, man. I'm so glad that they went back to the 4 out of 7 series. And it's very taxing.
Yeah.
It's a grueling season. And the people, you know, you talk about the money these guys make. The people still don't know how much work they put in behind the scenes. So I know they say it's you getting paid all this money to play a game. But this game takes a lot of work, a lot of conditioning, a lot of sacrifice. Your eating habits, your family, and that's the stuff people forget about. You have to change schools sometimes for your kids. Your kids moving out of state, things like that. So you got a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that people never, ever think about. So a lot of these players, it's added pressure. It's added pressure on a lot of these guys. Some can handle the pressure.
And at this level.
Okay. Say it again.
Well said, Derek. And at this level, this game is a business, a billion-dollar business at different levels and different aspects. I mean, lives and careers are on the line, man. These guys, it's very serious stuff at this level. The problem comes, and you see it working with young people, Derek, is when 10- or 12-year-old kids and their parents think that that their game is the NBA Finals. That's when the problems come around.
Well, you can think they're going to the NBA Finals, but you got to get them to a 7th, 8th, 9th grade first. So one day at a time? Every ball player that ever played, I believe, even the guys in Europe, some of them don't come over. Because they don't feel they're going to have the careers that they could, or the notoriety that they have over in Europe or wherever they may be playing. But everybody in the world that practice wants to play in the NBA. It's just not realistic. So I applaud. That's why I say the guys like George Hill and all these guys, they beat the odds. And sometimes, you know, we're going to make mistakes. Anything you do in any profession, a lot of people, you don't succeed until you learn to fail. And some people think failure is not a bad thing to me. You have to learn how to fail.
And that's one thing. And let me get everybody caught up. You're listening to Derek Gervin's As Good As It Gets Basketball podcast with Ricky Hampton and Michael Robinson of the African American Athlete and Derek Gervin, the star of the show. And Derek, one thing we got Dr. J set up for an interview here on the Derek Gervin's As Good As It Gets Basketball podcast. And that date is October 25th, right?
25th, yes, sir.
October 25th. So I want all our listeners out there to stay tuned for that. But and I know I mentioned it to Derek. I may have mentioned it to Mike. When I was a young reporter, one of my first assignments was covering Dr. J, who had just retired, was in Nashville for a speech. And in that speech, he was talking to some young kids at a Fellowship of Christian Athlete convention. And he talked about you have to dare to be great. And what he meant about that was you got to dare to step out in the arena and compete, because you might not win. You might fail. And all these guys that step out there, you know, they get my respect for putting themselves out there to take the criticism, which in today's world is harsher than ever. Because let me tell you, you screw up, like J.R. Smith. How many memes of J.R. Smith did we see after that game, right? I mean,
yeah.
Hey, you cannot be weak and do this.
You have to have thick skin. You have to. If you look at it, I'm ready, and I got to get this in. These guys, I'm ready to talk about this Western Conference, because I cannot leave this out. I'm so excited. You know, you got. I'm gonna tell you guys right here. This is the teams I have so far in this order. If everything goes well, I got the Warriors coming in first this year. Last year they were 58-24, so I'm looking for that to improve. I got either the Rockets or the Jazz coming in second. I have to see how Houston blends together. So I'm going to give a third seed to maybe Houston or the Jazz. My fourth seed, I'm looking at the L.A. Lakers. Now, I don't know what you guys think about that. It'll be between L.A. and the Pelicans. LeBron has a chance, I believe, to really bring the Lakers back to get the notoriety back. I told people now I had lunch with LeBron. People know I like to mess with LeBron. So I told him I met him at Avra restaurant in L.A., where he went with DiCaprio and Robert De Niro. And what I was told by him, you know, it's just a joke, but he told me that there are no more L.A. fakers. The Lakers are back, and I believe, and I really believe that. I believe they're back in a big way. People are still questioning the young guys on their team. I'm a big fan of Kyle Kuzma. You guys know I love Brandon Ingram. I just think they have an opportunity to do something special. I like Josh Hart. I like JaVale McGee. So I think the Lakers, as the season go on and they start gelling, I think they're a team that's going to have to be reckoned with. I have them between maybe they might even come second in the Western Conference. People might think I'm crazy, but you know, Mike, I know you and Ricky, you say they have LeBron James.
Well,
so I'm going to give LeBron credit. Anything's possible.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Of course, me being the optimist here, I definitely think that just because the dude just has that it factor, that I think that he can make them a 2-seed. Now, as I said, Houston, to me, seemed like they took some steps back. And I know, you know, they had an addition here with Carmelo, and Carmelo's a Hall of Famer and all that, but he's not a Hall of Famer now. And coming off the bench, I don't know how well he's going to be taking this when it gets to games 81 and 82 and then the playoffs. So I think the Lakers should do that, unless they have a huge setback, like somebody gets injured or the players are just not making that next step, then that could be what could retire this situation. Because think about it. When they look at all the improvements that he made for when he goes to a new team, 20-game improvement, 18-game improvements, the Heat was only 11. And people forget that they went through a couple funky moments that first year in Miami. And they were like, how's this team losing? And they're losing to these mediocre teams. So we don't know if it's going to be a smooth transition. Are people going to really just, you know, make that next step? But if it does fall into place like it should, I could easily see them as a 2-seed. And it's going to be hard to – I don't see Houston doing what they did last year where they unseated the Warriors for the best record in the Western Conference and the league. I don't see Houston doing that. I see them losing 10 games from their total from last year. So I could see the Lakers maybe eking in there, but then we know how LeBron is, where it's not as important where they finish the regular season. So if he still has that mentality and maybe take some games off this year, then they may be third. But I still think wherever they land, they got a chance to get to the Western Conference Finals.
Ricky, I have to speak on that quickly. Ricky, let me speak on that one. Mike, you said, now say that again about you think LeBron about taking some games off?
This
year?
Last year he played 82. I don't know if he'll do 82 this year. That's what I'm saying. So if he takes some games off or take a little time period off like he did in Miami or in Cleveland, that may prevent them from being a two seed.
He can't do that this year. He's in the Western Conference. Their positioning means everything because they don't want to run into Golden State. They don't want to run into Golden State in the first or second round. So they got to have the best record. They got to have the best record that they can have. So that means he's got to be on the floor. He's not going to be playing 40 minutes every night.
Right.
But he can't take off. This is not going to be like Golden State. Steve Kerr doesn't mind winning 58 games and sacrificing for the end of the year. But that's what the Warriors. LeBron's got to be just the opposite. He's got to carry these guys, and they got to try to get the best seed they can to avoid the Warriors. If they don't, if they meet the Warriors in the first or second round, I say it's a wrap. So they got to try to outdo Utah and the Pelicans and the Rockets and try. So he's got to play. He's got to play a high percentage of games, and he's gonna have to be on the floor for a high percentage of minutes. This year he'll probably average, I say, 36 to 37 minutes, but he has to be there, and I think it only helped their team. But every game for them counts. Their positioning means a lot.
Now, we've been talking about the Lakers for about 5 minutes here. I have not heard Lonzo Ball's name come up yet, Eric.
Well,
wasn't he the number two pick in the draft last year?
Yeah,
In the league?
I left him out by mistake. I didn't mean to, because my point was they got a good core of young guys, and that includes
him.
They
really do.
I'm a Lonzo Ball fan. The guy, I'm going to say it again, as a rookie, he averaged 10 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists, and that's without being able to shoot. He still averaged double figures, and he's bulked up this year. His IQ can only grow. He's playing with LeBron and Rajon Rondo, so he can only get better. His ceiling is high, and he's a heck of a defender. He's a very underrated defensive player. So he's more of a team defender, but as the time goes on, I also see him being a pretty good lockdown defender. The guy's not a bad player.
Let me tell you, they are going to be a good team. Number one, they got 23 on the team, and they got – man, they got some guys who have been through some battles. Rondo, veteran, knows how to win. JaVale McGee resurrected his career in Golden State. And, man, that dude is long, man. I mean, he is long. He is 7 foot, but he must have a wingspan of an 8-footer. I mean – And he is playing with more confidence now than he ever had. But they got another couple of guys. KCP, who was here in Detroit, excellent defender, streaky shooter, but a really good player. Michael Beasley can give you points off the bench. Lance Stephenson, I think he's going to play well with this team. I really do. But as they go forward, I think the year is going to be next year. Because they're gonna bring in another dog to play with LeBron, and the kid they got from Michigan a couple of years from now, Wagner,
Wagner,
yes sir. I mean, he can shoot that thing, man, and he got a nasty streak about him too. 6'11", 250 pounds. So yeah, they got a good future in front of them, but they're not gonna be Golden State this year. I mean, as I said the other night, I was asking Mike, when they were giving out the rings, were they just going to give Golden State the rings for this year, too? So, I mean, mean, I think they're clearly the favorite, but as Mike always points out, I mean, they are certainly beatable. So we covered the Lakers in the West. Who was your other
Utah Jazz, the number one defensive team in the NBA. The Utah Jazz, and they added Grayson Allen was pretty much their addition this year. But if you look at their starting five, Rudy Gobert, Ricky Rubio, Mitchell, then you got Joe Ingles and Derek Favors. That was a lockdown defensive team. And Donovan Mitchell is only going to get better.
Mike and Derek, can I just ask y'all to hurry up and go through this Utah thing so I don't have to hear about Mitchell, because I know he's supposed to be here in Detroit. So let's hurry up and get through this.
Well, you got to look at that. Their team is going to be hard to beat. They're going to be a hard out for anybody, especially in the first round. I think Utah is going to only beat – they won 48 last year. You go 48-34. I think the confidence is better this year. It'll be higher. So I'm looking at them being a team. They could easily be in the top three. That's why I was so excited to get on the radio today. If you look at it, we haven't even talked about the Oklahoma City Thunder. We haven't talked about the Timberwolves. The Denver Nuggets are better. I mean, it's going to be a heck of a year. And I'm really, really pumped up, more than I have been in the last few years.
And you want to know what's funny, Derek? You want to know what's funny? You want to know what's funny, Derek? You didn't even mention the 3-seed last year.
Well, I didn't mention Spurs. I'm
saying Portland.
Portland Trailblazers. I'm still not going to mention Portland, Mike. And you know why I'm not going to mention them? Until they either make a decision what they're going to do with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. It doesn't make sense to keep they're too much alike.
Right.
You got to give up something and they need perimeter players. So until they do that, I can't take them serious. We'll have a high-scoring combination. They'll probably be up there with Steph and Durant as far as twosome, as far as scoring.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not going to take them very far. I wouldn't even be surprised if they didn't make the playoffs this year, if they ended up number 9. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
But see, but this is why when I keep hearing this, the Western Conference is just so much better. I'm like, Portland was the 3-seed, and they looked very beatable. You really didn't have any faith in them to get to the finals. So if they were the third-best team in the Western Conference, what does that say when you had the top four in the East were battling each other? Or you got to throw in a 5 because the Cavaliers are 5th. So that's what I'm saying about how it's almost like it reminds me of the SEC Conference where it's top-heavy with Alabama, but then you'll get Auburn in there every once in a while. You might get Florida used to be in there. So it was top-heavy, but the conference as a whole is okay. And you can get some of the coaches that have resentment because of that. It's like, I'm getting tired of you guys saying how awesome this conference is. It's like it's Alabama and a bunch of guys. And that's what I'm saying about the Western Conference. It was basically just Houston and the Warriors. Because, like I said, if Portland was a 3rd seed and they got put out right away by, New Orleans?
Yeah, they got swept by New Orleans.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I'm like, and that was supposed to be the 3rd best team in the conference. So, of course, if you're the 3rd best team in the Western Conference, that meant that you're better than the whole Eastern Conference, according to all these pundits that say the Western Conference is so awesome. So that's what I'm saying about, I think people get carried away with it, you know, when they talk about this imbalance. And then how can you really gauge it when you only play the other conference twice?
Ricky, I have a question.
It's always,
go ahead, Ricky.
You've always had what one conference would be stronger or have the reputation of being strong. Think of back in the day when the Lakers were going to the finals all the time, and over in the East you have Philly and the Sixers going at each other. Milwaukee would be in the mix. And they just beat each other up, and Survivor would get there, and the Lakers would just be waiting on them because they would cruise to the finals. Houston might give them a little trouble every now and then, but, you know, number one, the Lakers were a great team, obviously, with Hall of Famers, Kareem, Worthy, Magic, and we can go on and on. But, you know, that I think that's always kind of been the case. I mean, you play who's in front of you. You play the people on your schedule and go from there.
You two gentlemen are giving Golden State pretty much a championship if everything goes well. Now, you know me being the type guy I am, I have to bring up the other side.
Right.
You got DeMarcus Cousins coming back, right? Mm-hmm. There's no guarantee he's going to be 100% ever again. And this year, he won't be effective at all until, I say, around April, May. We're looking more like with his injury, we're looking at him being 100% mentally. I'm not just talking about the physical part. That's going to take him a whole season to get back physically and mentally. Now, that could affect the team in a negative way. And then here's the main thing right here that you guys, I don't know if you've thought about it or not, but I have. Kevin Durant. You know, they had supposedly his brother or Kevin even doing his thing again. You know, he likes to write on social media. Sounds like he'll be leaving next year. And the players have picked up on it. The ownership management has picked up on it. So those are the things that starts tearing a dynasty apart. There's no guarantee. I've been saying it over and over. A lot of people believe in the Warriors that they're unbeatable. I'm not one of those people. And anytime you have friction, I don't care how good your team is. When you have friction, that's the one thing that'll stop you from getting to your goals and adding your extra rings. So I just want you guys to be mindful. And
there's no other sport where you have to play together as much as you have to do in basketball. I mean, you think about baseball. I mean, you just got there and play your position. There are times where teamwork comes in play, you know, hit and run situations and who's going to cover what base and all that. But pretty much, if you're a designated hitter, you know the signs, know when to play hit and run, but you get up there and do your thing. You know, football, you know, Barry Sanders never played a down of defense. So he had no idea what they were doing on the other side of the ball. That wasn't his responsibility. But in basketball, you have to play both ends of the court, and you have to play together. And if you got guys who are playing together, they may not be as talented. If they're playing together and executing, they got a chance to beat a team that may have more talent.
Makes a lot of sense. Ricky, do you think by Durant possibly wanting to leave, could that affect the team at all? Because my reason I say that is because they're talking about him possibly wanting to play in New York. So when you're trying to play for a new contract, I mean, sometimes it's human instinct. We know he kind of went through some stuff with Westbrook in Oklahoma City, so that's kind of been his track history. I can only go by what you've done before until I see differently. He could be looking ahead. He could be easily looking ahead, and that's not good for the team.
Okay, well, you know, for me now, of course, you know me being out here in the Bay, I've been probably one of the biggest Warrior antagonists around. Because I've said that all four of these championships that they've been in, they pretty much put a loss each time. So, and that's why, you know, for me, when they throw out that best team ever and all that stuff, and they would beat the Bulls and they would beat them, I'm like, dude, you guys have too many holes in your situation that really don't make you guys a dominant team. You won, but you've taken advantage of situations. Because think about it. In 15, they got in there, and everybody was like, well, maybe they weren't really ready because they were down 2-1 to the Cavs without Kevin Love or Kyrie. And they could have been down 3-0 if LeBron makes that game winner. So they were that susceptible to losing that first final. And then, of course, they put Iguodala in the starting lineup. Then all of a sudden, the whole mood changed. And then, of course, we had Dellavedova basically had to get an IV because he was just worn himself out, but he was all in Steph's grill. So they were really susceptible to losing that first final. But they managed to win. Iguodala's the hero. Then the next year, of course, they're down 3-1 to Oklahoma City, and they won 73 games. I'm like, how is this team supposed to be comparable to the Bulls? And then they get through that because Oklahoma City just couldn't get it done. But then they lose a 3-1 lead to the Cavaliers. So once again, they don't look that great. So they go get Kevin Durant, right? Then they're getting smoked by the Spurs in the playoffs by 27 points. And lo and behold, another one of their lucky moments happens. Kawhi gets his ankle messed up by Zaza. So now they end up winning, you know, the finals against the Cavs. You know, no real contest. Then last year, they're getting beat by Houston. So there's four straight years they have not just mowed through the playoffs. They have not been dominant like the Lakers were, you know, just recently with Shaq and those guys when they only lost that one game, and that was in the finals when Iverson had a great game. So I have not seen them just be, you know, just an awesome team, even though they had that record and they, you know, they do manage to win in a sweeping fashion. But each year they've had adversity where they could have easily been knocked out of the playoffs. And I don't look at that as a powerful team that's unbeatable. So I've always thought that this team was flawed, even though they're going to be considered a great team if they win three in a row now and, you know, four out of five. You know, that's going to go down in history as one of the greatest teams ever. But when you look deep into it, they weren't really that great of a team.
Yeah,
so that's
but
that,
I mean, the thing is,
yeah.
They won. I mean, you got to give them credit. I was pulling against them every step
right.
of the way, but you got to give them, you know, their credit for winning, and that's, you know, that's part of it, man. That you get those breaks,
but Derek was saying that, you know, that everybody thinks that they're just they're going to mow through it, and I just said that they are susceptible to getting beat, and that's what I'm saying, that all it takes is a team to really have that courage and continue it going. Like I said, Houston looked like they were about to do it, and then Chris Paul gets hurt, and it's like how – not only do they get – they have the players, they get all these players, Durant and now Boogie, but they seem to get all the breaks that ever can happen in sports. They seem to have that leprechaun from Boston.
But you know what? You talk about – Durant may be leaving. I think LeBron knew he was leaving all last year, and he played great for the Cavaliers. So maybe it won't be an impact. Hey, guys, we only got a couple more minutes here on Derek Gervin's As Good As It Gets basketball podcast. Did we get to everybody, Derek? Was it another team you wanted to talk about? Of course we can.
No, the only last team would be, and it's not even a team, it's just an individual, Jimmy Butler situation.
Right.
Seems somewhat has played out where he's still with Minnesota. So we'll see what happens with that team. They didn't really make any, they brought in just Anthony Tolliver this year, and they lose Jamal Crawford. So their team pretty much stayed packed. So they're going to pretty much deal all year with the inside stuff, what's going on in the locker room. Because it's hard for me to play with a player. Once you bash me in the media,
yeah,
it's going to be hard for me to play with you. And we're just being straight. You know, everyone can talk about, oh, you just let it go. And it doesn't work that way. These are thin-skinned guys today. And for Jimmy Butler every day to have to go back in that locker room and look at Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, I just don't see how that can make them a better team this year. So I pretty much eliminating the Timberwolves in my mind until I see otherwise.
Let's look at the Timberwolves right quick, guys. They lost to the San Antonio Spurs 112-108. For the Timberwolves, Butler had played 31 minutes, had 23 points, 9 of 23 shooting, so he wasn't very efficient. And he had four turnovers. So who's going to blame that? No, he only had one turnover. Sorry. One turnover and three assists. Carl Anthony Towns, 22 minutes, only 8 points. Derrick Rose played 30 minutes on. My man Anthony Tolliver didn't do anything with him, former Piston. Yeah, they are going to be a factor, guys. I think we can.
No,
Spurs. Okay. Eric, do you think he'll get traded this season?
Yes,
he's going to have to. There's no way they can go through unless they're just going to tank the season. Mm. He has to go this year. The only reason he hasn't gone right now is because they can't get fair value. That's the only reason he's not there. And somehow I believe management convinced the owner, convinced Mr. Taylor to give him a little time and try to get something. You don't want to just let him go for free. He is a top 15 player. Some people's mind may be top 10. In my mind, top 15. But you can't lose him for nothing or next to nothing. So you got to kind of make them. Well, you got to keep him right now, and then, you know, we get a chance of November, December, before the deadline, he'll be gone. And hopefully maybe he'll go to a situation where he won't try to bring down the young players this time. He'll support the young guys. So I still want him to do well.
Yeah.
And, Ricky, before we go.
We got to get out of here, guys.
Let me just throw this out before we go, Ricky.
Okay.
When we talk about Durant, so with Durant, I think that, you know, there could be that situation, Derek, where it could cause friction. But think about this. There are people complaining about Durant during that Houston series. And so, well, here he is going to play like he did in Oklahoma City, where he's going 1-on-4 and all that. So they kind of were, like, falling out of favors with him in that series then. And if they would have lost, I think they would have turned on him. But then, of course, he gets the MVP in the finals, so now that's a good deodorant. But I think it's easy for them to kind of lose favors with Kevin Durant because they always will love Steph. So I just think that they wanted probably to be Steph's team again anyway, but they're dealing with Durant because they're winning championships still. So, but I think that, yeah, if they do think that he's going to be gone next year, it might cause a little friction. And the one that probably will expose it would be Draymond.
Yep.
Yeah, I can see Draymond doing that. But, guys, we got to close up shop tonight here on Derek Gervin's As Good As It Gets Basketball podcast. If you missed the show tonight or if you missed any of the shows, simply go to the AfricanAmericanAthlete.com website and go to the audio page to catch Derek Gervin's show and also the AfricanAmericanAthlete.com with Ricky Hampton and Michael Robertson. But, hey, let's do it again real soon, guys. It's been fun.
Been a lot of fun. Thank everybody for tuning in.
All right.
Okay, till next time, you've been listening to Derek Gervin's As Good As It Gets Basketball podcast for Ricky Hampton, Michael Robinson, and Derek Gervin. Good night. God bless.
Good night. I say good night, Mike. Good night, Ricky.
All right, you too, Derek.